Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today with
Sophie. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
Mark Spears, longtime, very well-respected NBA reporter, ESPN. So NBA on ESPN, they're talking about Jimmy Butler, the injury, and the unknown. We're still awaiting MRI results. I don't think the MRI is probably going to tell us anything other than, yeah, like, pain tolerance, let's see, wait and see, we'll figure it out Saturday. That's my expectation. I don't know that, but we'll see. But in the process of talking on NBA on ESPN, listen to what Mark Spears said earlier today.
Let me tell you this real quick. There is some hope, though. Bernie Lee, Jimmy Butler's agent, texts me saying, pray for the bear. That tells me that's some optimism for Jimmy.
Okay, so only one person laughed because I don't think everybody understands fully pray for the bear. Pray for the bear is an old statement. It's been used by Muhammad Ali. It's been used by Kobe Bryant. And basically the idea is, you ever see me in a fight with a bear? Pray for the bear. So the idea is Jimmy Butler's agent is saying, oh, you guys saying the Rockets now have the edge because Jimmy's hurt? Pray for the Rockets, which Mark is taking as Jimmy is going to still put his stamp on this series. And that's probable. I don't know about game three. I would be surprised if he missed any more than that. And I wouldn't be surprised if he didn't miss that.
Yeah, I would be surprised if he played in game three, okay, just based on the severity of the fall and the fact that he went in the locker room and he did not return. And he ended up staying overnight to get an MRI in Houston. And so isn't that the way
there was the report that they sent him back early. The Warriors were going to stay overnight, but that Jimmy,
then I had it backwards.
Jimmy hopped
okay
an immediate
That's
flight
what
back Colicone here.
Colicone reported.
Yeah,
right.
Jimmy yeah hopped an immediate flight back here to take the MRI.
Okay.
But anyway,
it's neither here nor
they're
there.
They're all here now. They're all back
right
home now.
And the fact
yeah
that he had the fall and then was unable to return in a playoff game tells me that it was really bad to where he couldn't play through it. And
yep,
so, you know, an injury like that, the next day, it can't feel better. It probably feels worse.
Oh, yeah.
And so the treatment of a pelvic contusion like that, there's only so much you could do. It comes down to pain tolerance, and maybe he needs a couple extra days. I don't know. I would be surprised if he did play Saturday, 2 days from now in game three, but I'd also be shocked if he didn't then play Monday in game four.
The extra day off really helps. The extra day off really helps. I did see one somewhat speculative report if the game had been tonight, I'm sorry, not tonight, obviously not tonight. If the game was tomorrow, Jimmy would be listed as iffy. But the fact that it's Saturday gives them obviously even more hope. So I don't know if that makes him questionable, probable, doubtful, anywhere in between. I'm not a doctor and I'm not tapped in behind the scenes right now with the Warriors on this, but the whispers that we're hearing sound like Jimmy Butler has avoided something major. And so, yes, you're right. Game three, who knows? But the Warriors could very well still win this series, even if he misses game three. And I give them, especially in that particular game, I still give them a good puncher's chance even without him. I don't give them much of a puncher's chance in the series if he's to miss extended time. But the home crowd energy of a game three situation, I think the Warriors would have a shot. They'd have a shot to win on Saturday night without him.
Without a doubt. And you look at role players playing at home, and it's an old adage, but I do think that it's true that role players play better at home. And when you mentioned what you did earlier about it not being strength in numbers, and it's really, you know, three star players and then a bunch of, quite frankly, role players.
Yep.
And all these role players are going to be coming home where they've played, you know, 42 games now, 41 plus a play-in, and so they're more comfortable here. You would expect Pods to play better as long as the food poisoning or whatever he had is gone. Quentin Post already did play better, so maybe he'll be more comfortable well. And so no matter who's going to be on the floor for Golden State, I do think that their younger players are bound to play better at home.
Yeah, Quentin felt like, they, again, he just needed that first three to go in, and I think he missed his first two, and then he hit one, and then he got going. And then it was like, then he was downhill. I think he was maybe 4-5, 4-6 from that point forward. And what I dig about Quentin, look, I know the analytics are there. These teams know each other inside and out. But do you notice with Quentin Post, who is a good three-point shooter, when he gets the ball out there, the Rockets just let him, go ahead, dude, shoot it. And he's like, okay, swish, swish, swish. So they're letting him have that shot. And if they do that at Chase Center on Saturday night, that man's going to hit a few. No doubt in my mind. All right, let's get back out to the phones. We want to do it all afternoon long. It's that kind of day. What is still in your head based on last night as we now get to about 3:30 the following day? I got a Steph Curry thing for you. We'll do it in a little bit. 888-957-9570. Let's go to Jeff in Albany. Hi, Jeff. Thanks for calling.
Hey, guys. Love your show. Love 95.7 The Game. I just want to say this, man. I'm a Laker fan, diehard. But my thing is, listening to Warrior fans call in when the Warriors lose, they have a tendency to always try to find an scapegoat. And the scapegoat is always Jonathan Kuminga. That's just the way Steve Kerr coaches. But I'm going to say this. You put him with another team and let him roam free and do his thing, he will tear the Warriors a new you-know-what if he was to play against them. All I'm saying is stop blaming that youngster. It's not his fault when the Warriors lose.
Are you hearing people blame Jonathan today, Jeff?
Man, I just heard somebody say something about Jonathan not too long ago. It's just every show, it just seemed like it's always Jonathan's fault. That young man can play ball, man. He can ball.
Yeah,
he
Jeff,
can ball.
I actually think what you're saying, there are aspects of it, Jeff, thanks so much for the call, my opinion, where people in the Warriors organization might agree with you. Like, they and I don't mean the whole, like, he's going to go to another team and rip you a new one and take over the league. No, that's not going to happen. But I bet you'd find people in the organization, if you said, that guy go to another team and he'll really play well, they'd be like, yeah, probably. Again, I don't think the Warriors have anything against Jonathan. They found something that works. It doesn't really fit Jonathan that well. End of story.
Yeah, right now.
Right now. So, like, I don't think they think he stinks. No one's got anything against him. And to your point, Jeff, if anybody's blaming Jonathan for yesterday, that's come on.
I mean, what are we doing?
No, Jonathan had nothing to do with why the Warriors lost last night at all.
I think that last night for me is more about credit than it is about blame anyway. And I give credit to Houston, and we can put aside the Amen Thompson foul on Jimmy Butler that caused him to miss the game, dirty or not. That doesn't matter. That happened. And they called a foul on Amen Thompson. Jimmy Butler shot free throws and then he couldn't play anymore. And Pods was sick. And I'm not going to sit there and point the finger at excuses and say that's why they lost. I look at Houston, and bottom line for me, Houston played better. They were more physical.
Sure.
They were more aggressive. Steph Curry had, what, 5-6 turnovers? Steph and Draymond had 11 turnovers combined. And if they're your two primary ball handlers and they're going to be that loosey-goosey with the ball, and, you know, Steph was 6 of 15. He had 20 points. That's below his norm. Houston was flat better. So for me, if you want to do the credit or blame scale, for me, it's about 80% credit to Houston and then 20% blame to the Warriors. And if you want to play the blame game, I would look at Steph and Draymond and say that they're the ones that I would blame the most.
Did we not say that the linchpin to every single one of these games individually is turnovers?
Yeah.
We said it all day yesterday. And in game one, the Rockets had, I think, 16 turnovers and the Warriors only had 11. It was almost exactly flipped last night. The Rockets only had 10. The Warriors had 15. I literally set that over-under at about 13.5. That's where I said it yesterday. I think if the Warriors go under 13.5 turnovers, I think they're going to win a lot of these games. If you go over, you're probably going to lose. They went over. They lost.
Right.
Jalen Green was the best player on the floor. No two ways about that. There's no debating that.
Yeah.
Awful last night.
And if you're a Warrior team and you're going to have six fewer shots than Houston, well, then you better be making your threes at a very high rate. And they shot it pretty well, 39.5% from three. But from two, Mark, they were 16 of 37 from two, which is really, really subpar. A team like the Warriors is normally about 55% from two. And last night they shot about 38, 40% from two. So when you didn't have the three-pointer available, you had a hard time getting buckets inside the arc.
We have a $20 super chat on YouTube.
Major bag alert.
Major. All right. Left Coast Mana would like to say, have a drink on me, boys. In regards to Amen, it is a classic case of foul baiting. The key here is the Rockets are also seeking contact with a Dubs player. DB on GP in game one, that's Dylan Brooks on GP2 in game one, and then Amen on JB in game two. Thank you very much for the chat, for listening, for following along. Do you think that the Rockets are seeking contact on the Warriors' offensive end?
Absolutely.
Yeah,
and
so do I.
I do think that Ime Udoka has signaled that by what he talked about after the last matchup in the regular season. And, you know, the more the Warriors complain, the better Houston is, if I can paraphrase. Like, the more the Warriors complain, then the Rockets feel like they've already, quote, won. So they're going to impose their will physically, and they're going to make the officials call whatever they can call. And, you know, last night they called 35 fouls, which is right about the average for the postseason. The average is 35.7, so it wasn't under-officiated in terms of fouls called, but in terms of fouls committed, you made this point earlier, you're watching the game, it's like, that's a foul, and that's a foul, and that's a foul, on both ends.
Constantly.
But you can't honestly call the game in that fashion because the refs want flow, and they understand it's an entertainment property, and so there's a certain level of physicality that you just have to allow based on the reality of the league.
No doubt about it. And I'd love to talk more about that in a little bit. We'll get there. Let's go to Eddie in the Marina. Hi, Eddie. Thanks for calling.
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me.
Yeah.
Love the show, Willard. Been listening to you for years.
Thanks, man.
There was just some points that I wanted to make. One, I'm glad the Warriors didn't get into too much light as far as, you know, all the physicality. They know what they're doing. They know what they're up against. The second thing was, you mentioned earlier in the show about what does Jonathan Kuminga do better than others. What he does is, and what I feel the Warriors are kind of missing, is the downhill fast breaks. He gets out there. We go on momentum swings. We run up the score. Obviously, the other team is going to call timeouts if they have them. If they don't have them, they got to try to just, you know, play it out. But that's something that we've been missing lately is, and I know it's playoff basketball, but we've been missing that running up the score real quick on us, for us. And I think JK does that really well when he gets the opportunity to do it, meaning like catching the ball, getting out there, getting dunks, getting out in front of the defense. And then the other thing I was going to mention was TJ.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference.
According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey, D. I feel like he's really good on the high screen and roll to the basket, which we saw glimpses of in Phoenix a couple weeks ago. Obviously, the Houston's a little better than Phoenix, but I'd like to see more of that. Plus, he is physical. He's a big body. He's going to spread the floor when he's out there setting the screens and rolling, and it creates more shots for the entire team. So I do want to see that hopefully implemented a little bit in Game 3, Game 4.
Eddie, yeah, thank you so much. If Jimmy Butler plays, I do not think you're going to get your wish. So here's the thing. In listening to Eddie, he has some points. There's no doubt about it. And you get to like whichever players you want to like and all of that stuff. But here's what I think is the breakdown. And I'm not going to make this about Jonathan. It can be about any player who you want to play more than he does. We fall into the trap, I think, of looking at the individual. TJD does this, screen and roll. Jonathan gets out in the open floor, and he can run, and he can finish in transition. Right, they can. Those guys can do those things. But when the Warriors are looking at this as a group, they're not looking at it based on what an individual can do. They're looking at it based on what a group can do. What does a group of players go out there and do together? And the people that you keep wanting to jam into the rotation don't do well with a lot of the other groups out there, largely because most of the people you're talking about are not what? Shooters!
Right.
Can't shoot. And when Draymond and Jimmy are both on the floor, they're not three-point shooters. Looney gets mixed in, all of that. You need shooters. And so I get it. You can like those players. You can like certain aspects of their game, but they don't fit with what the Warriors are largely doing. And the idea of Kuminga being the centerpiece of, like, these runs that the Warriors go on, this series does not look like that kind of series to me. This is not a get-out-and-run and open and score 120 points kind of a game. That's as obvious can be.
Right. This is going to be a slow-down, grind-it-out kind of a series. And when you've got a player like Jimmy Butler, who is an excellent ISO player, then you need to surround him, for the most part, with shooters. And if you want to look at your team, Quentin Post can shoot. Kevon, no. Buddy Hield, well, yeah, in theory. But beyond that, you get down to Gee, 33% from three. GP2 is at 32.6. Draymond's at 32.5. Kuminga's at 30.5. You've got more non-shooters than you have actual shooters on a team. So if you're going to have five on the floor, and Jimmy Butler's one of them, a guy who does not shoot the three very well, 27.9, by the way, as a Warrior from three, well, you'd better have four shooters out there with him to give you the spacing that you need.